Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Each week during the legislative session, we bring you an update from Topeka on the latest bills and activity from our state capitol. With us now to bring us this week's Under the Dome legislative update is State Senator Renee Erickson. Renee, thank you for joining us this evening.
Oh, see, we just had to switch roles here, John, because now I'm going from interviewer to interviewee.
It's amazing how that works. I'm not in my usual seat, though. I'm not used to this. It's bizarre. I feel this is just cattywampus. Everything's backwards. All right, so I've got a list of questions here. I want to start with the one, because the media always complains about this. The Democrats often complain about this. And I think listeners probably hear the stories about the midnight rule and legislatures being, laws being written in the middle of the night. It's unfair. It's wrong. So explain the midnight rule to my listeners and then tell me what you think about it. So what is the midnight rule, and what do you think about, laws being done after dark?
Well, conference committee week is kind of unique. It's already gone through committee process during day. This is just where the House and Senate get together and hash out their differences and come up with what's called a conference committee report. And that's actually what you're voting on at this point. So it's not like these are things that haven't been vetted, haven't been talked about for the most part. But the midnight rule came about, it's my understanding, from a time when the legislature was working till the wee hours of the morning, and unfortunately a legislator left trying to drive home, had an accident, and unfortunately passed away. So they implemented this midnight rule so that we don't go too late and people try to make it home and, are too tired to drive. So it can be waived. You can vote to suspend the midnight rule, which is what happened a couple times this week, as a matter of fact.
I mean, every year I was in the legislature, this happens. And for the audience that don't understand why, it's because when you're at this time in the session and you're up against the days, quote unquote, days that are left in the session, when you're like the drop dead date, or for that matter, if it's the 90th day, because in statute, during even numbered years, the legislature is limited to 90 days. So if it's day 90, for example, and you're, on day 90, midnight technically would be the end of the 90th day, but it's not necessarily at 12:01, because if they suspend the rule, then that 90th day could go well into day 91 as long as they don't adjourn, correct? So they could extend it into, if it's, say, day 90 falls on a Friday, they could go into early Saturday morning as long as they haven't adjourned, correct?
Correct.
So that's the midnight rule allows you to work after dark, and that's what happens. Now, a lot of people will say that the reason they're doing this is so that they hope legislators are up and they're tired and they just will vote yes for stuff so that they can get out of there because they're tired and they're weary and they just want to go home. Or that leadership is doing it to punish people and sweat it out, make them vote for things they don't want to. I don't necessarily, I don't know if I'm not part of leadership, you are. I think it's more just because the process takes a long time and you're up against a deadline and you work until you get it done. That's my perception. I don't think it, maybe when I was a freshman, it might have been used that way, but I don't think now they're using it as a tactic. It's just the time is what the time is.
Oh, I don't think so either, John. You know, it does take a long time, and trying to coordinate schedules for, you know, this, the House will be on the floor voting or taking final action, and we're waiting to meet with them to get a conference committee going. And it's just hard to coordinate and get all the work done that you need to get done. And in fact, I think a lot of times we work really late because people, I heard this, you know, in just a couple of days ago, I can't stay over through Saturday. I've got a wedding or I've got this. And so I think that leadership's trying to get us out. And sometimes that means working late.
Yep. I've got vacation. I've got this, that, and other. So we've talked enough, I think, about the budget. We've talked enough about the tax bill. Tell me a little bit about some of the bills that were left on the table, things that that you guys didn't get accomplished. For the listeners, that you guys now have, what, 3-4 weeks off. You'll go back for veto session, which is, you know, typically no longer than a few days, a week at most, where you will take up whatever Laura Kelly vetoes, might be the tax bill, will certainly be the trans protection for, you know, trans barring, the bill that banned gender-affirming care is what they call it. I call it, you know, mutilating kids. But at any rate, that bill she'll veto, so you'll have to take that up. But what else needs to be taken up? Because I imagine there's still a bunch of legislation that you'll have to take up when you go back.
Yeah, there are a lot of conference committee reports hanging out there to be run across the floor and get those done. Some of the ones that I'm most familiar with in the committees that I'm on and have been working, there's a huge child care bill out there, which basically the governor's wanting to create this Office of Early Childhood.
Yeah, which is just growing government. We don't need, well, you heard Elizabeth.
Right.
We've got the second most government in the country. Why do we need more government, and especially more government under Laura Kelly?
Right. That one's hanging out there. There's a lot of interest on that as a way to deal with what is being framed as workforce development issue, because, you know, we need workers and child care's an issue for getting those workers to work. And so that one is hanging out there. Some things dealing with China, actually, and the
drone bill,
land acquisition and China
one, yes.
Doing that. Yeah. And there's quite a few out there around health. We've got one hanging out there that prevents the government and hospitals from refusing to let people in to visit their loved ones during a end of life, or visit them when there's a pandemic or something like we saw happen with COVID.
That medical marijuana bill. You love that one. I know you're a big fan of that bill. I'll just leave that one right there.
Yeah, we'll just skim right over that one and go to some less controversial ones. Are there any on abortion or anything like that hanging out there we can talk about, Sean?
Why don't we talk about guns or something?
Yeah, there we go. Something less controversial than marijuana.
So what bills that folks might have been tracking died and didn't get through and are now done that you know they were hoping to get accomplished? And unfortunately, for one way, you know, either failed. And I know there were a couple that I remember reading that are escaping me right now that didn't make it out of either chamber and are now, you know, DOA.
Yeah, honestly, there's quite a few. One that popped up here kind of at the end of session is the data center bill. I don't know if you were aware of that one, but about 30 states now have bills allowing these data centers to come in. Missouri just got it, I think, Google or one of the big guys coming in into Missouri, but we don't have the structure in place to allow that. Came late in the session. That one didn't make it out. I think overall we got most of the substantive lifts out, and quite frankly, nothing was going to move till this tax bill moved. And I'll tell you the other reason is in an election year, we try not to do anything that might be what, you know, we all know is postcard issues.
Right. Oh, and I know Laura Kelly was pushing or David Toland was pushing for another apex, kind of an apex light version. That didn't happen either.
Didn't happen.
Well, and probably good. I don't think we should be really pursuing another massive and don't get me wrong, I support economic development, but it has to be done the right way. But I don't think we should be doing another apex style economic development issue until we at least see what kind of bang for their buck we get out of the Panasonic deal, frankly.
And I think you're spot on, John. I think a lot of legislators feel that way. Look, we took a big step in the Apex bill. Why don't we wait and see if that works before we double down and do any more?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think taxpayers would reward you for that and probably punish you for doing it again. If we, you know, I mean, we still haven't seen, they're not creating the jobs yet. They're not, heck, they, you know, the plant's not up and running. We're not seeing the benefit yet. And right now, if we try to do something big like that again without bang for our buck, I think you're smart. I think that's probably the right way to pursue that kind of venue.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.